Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Awesome! The primary thrust for our text today is from John chapter 20, and I just want to read this. This is kind of a continuation of our Good Friday service. On Friday, we actually had a service in here Friday night, and we celebrated and we kind of thought about and meditated on the death of Jesus, okay? And why that's actually such a huge deal. It was awesome. I don't know if those were here. Wasn't it just a blast? I mean, that was powerful stuff. It was just cool. It was really cool. But this is kind of a continuation of that story. We ended right at the end of chapter 19, and now we're picking up right there where we left off, okay? So this is a continuation of the story. Jesus is in the grave, and now chapter 20 of John starts out. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping?" That's interesting to me for some reason. Why are you weeping? I wonder if an angel literally cannot comprehend. Why are you weeping about this? She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, please tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Here ends the reading. Let me say a prayer, and then I'm going to kind of dive into this just for a couple minutes. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we rejoice. We rejoice for what you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come to die for our sins and then to rise again victoriously. Jesus, please work in us now. An understanding of what's going on there. There's so many different approaches to this sermon and message I could take. And Jesus, I just pray that you would take the approach and do the thing this morning that we need to hear this morning. Help me, God, to simply convey not a word more and not a word less than what you want us to hear. Speak to us now, oh God. Please use me, help me in this time to just convey your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Man, you guys, seriously, you guys look good today. I mean, you look good. Wow. I mean, we got some dresses, right? Some of you guys reached way back in the closet, pulled out a little button up. Man, I don't know if we even have a tie in here, but do we got a tie in the house? Are you serious? Oh my goodness. That's so funny. I think that's maybe the first Easter I've ever been into a room without a tie. It's okay if you do. It's okay if you do. It's okay if you don't. I'm just wondering. Man, we look good though. I mean, I'm serious. The hair. I mean, Easter's one of these days where I feel like we look the best. You know what I mean? Like we actually look like, I mean, where else do we dress up like this? Maybe like a wedding or something. I don't know. But I mean, where do we dress up and just kind of get, man, feel good, maybe a date or something with the sweetie? We just look good today. And as I was thinking about that, because I was actually thinking about how we dress up oftentimes for Easter. Like it's like, oh, get all fancied up, put the dress on, boom, feel good, going to Gringo's after. But I was thinking about that, I was thinking, even though we look so good, I wonder what's going on inside. I wonder what's going on underneath the clothes. No, okay, like even further underneath the clothes. Like what's going on in our hearts? Here's what's up. Here's what I was thinking. This past week, I spent some time in Wisconsin with some of my family. And this past week, in just the matter of that week, I engaged people around like every little corner, it felt like, all struggling with just lots of different things. Stuff that you wouldn't see, you wouldn't be able to see or tell. I was able to because I'm related to them, and so there's kind of a relationship there, and I was able to kind of quickly learn what's really going on. This past week, in the context of multiple relationships, I came across somebody that shared with me that they're being physically, I learned this, they're being physically abused. I learned this past week about a situation where there's serious financial problems. I learned this past week about a situation where addiction is happening in an embarrassing kind of way. I learned this past week about a situation where serious life choices are like in these people's midst. Like they have some serious, huge life decisions to make. I came across some people who are literally moving across the country, quitting jobs, moving to other jobs, like incredible transformation of their lives happening like over this week. I came across people where relationships, I mean, I'm thinking of real people here, of where relationships are literally deteriorating like crazy. All just this past week. Now, I'm able to learn, you would never know. You'd never know, as you saw, these people are just regular people, actually very good people, actually people whose lives are pretty good. You never know what's really going on. Now, I was able to pick up on it because I'm able to lean in, because I'm in a relationship and learn all this stuff. But all this stuff in these people's lives that are not good. It's not good. They're struggling. And so as I look at all of you right now, I'm like, I see past the tie. I see past the smile. And I don't know. Some of you let me in. Actually, there's situations in this room that I know about just because I'm your pastor and you're like sharing with me some things. And I know about situations in this room right now that are not good. I know. And then there's a bunch that I don't have a clue about. And okay, either it's not like one is wrong. That's all I'm saying is we all got stuff. We all have stuff in our life. I know it. I don't even know it, but I know it. I know we have stuff going on in our lives. I know there's a not goodness. In Genesis, when God first creates the world, what does he do? He speaks. God speaks his word into the darkness and says, "Let there be light." Right? And then what does he do? He says, "It is good." It's good. And then what happens? Adam and Eve fall into sin, and then things start to become not good again, right? They start to be not good. And we feel this. We know this to be true in our lives because it's just, it seems like it's around every corner. And you don't maybe know it about the person next to you, but you know it about you. You sense not goodness in your life. And today you show up, you smile, you put on the yellow dress, right? And if somebody asks you, how you doing? You say, good. We do it not only today, we do it every day. When we hit the garage door, and we kind of go back into whatever dark thing or not good thing might be in our house or in our life. We maybe mask it by buying a new truck. Maybe we go buy a new truck. And everybody kind of looks and is like, whoa, life is good. Okay. The TV comas. Anybody get in any of those? You ever been in a TV coma? You ever spend some time, you know, video gaming it up or something? How do you, here's my question for you. How do you medicate your not goodness? Whatever that is. I'm just, give some thought to that. How do you medicate that? Get more busy? Get lazy? Whatever it might be, how do you medicate your not goodness? Because we all have not goodness going on. And we try, right? But here's the reality. If you have a turd and you spray a little cologne on a turd, come on, kids, stay with me. You kids have to laugh so that parents don't get mad. If you spray a little cologne on a turd or something like that, like what do you still have? You still got a turd. I actually brought this morning. I brought a little poo. I brought a little poo. It's in this bag. It's kind of disgusting. But if I take this little poo, right? If I take this little poo and we spray like a little cologne in there, anybody got some laying around or no? Nothing? A little spray? I forgot it this morning. You spray a little of that in there, you're still gonna end up with a bag of poo. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, don't get me wrong.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's just a little poo. And piglet, too. All right. I brought poo. I brought poo with me. I brought poo, forgot the cologne. It's tough to mask it though, right? You can't turn it. It's just poo. And in our lives, as we think about at kind of the most basic level, the not good stuff, it's just not good. Whatever it might be that you're going through right now, that's just the reality. Actually, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about different worldviews that try to approach some of these things. Where we actually agree as Christians, even with other different worldviews and thoughts, but then where we kind of break paths. It's going to be a fascinating series. I'm really excited to kind of dig in even more on it. Because ultimately, like, what's our answer? How do things get better? Can things be made good again? That's the question. That's the question we're asking, whether we're asking it or whether we're just living it. We're asking, or maybe not asking, we're just living out the kind of question, can things be made good again? Is it possible? Is it possible? Can light shine into darkness? Can light shine into the dark places of my life? Man, we're begging. Some of us are begging for that to happen. Here's the answer. I'm going to move kind of my main point for today. Jesus begins, listen to this. Jesus begins to make it good again through the resurrection. This is why this is so huge. This is why this is so huge. Jesus begins to make it good again through the resurrection. The resurrection. The resurrection is the beginning of the second creation. Now, I've even lost most of you Christians here. I get it. But let me explain. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of the second creation. Now, what are you talking about? Second creation. You're starting to sound a little fluky here. Second creation. Well, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus saying, I am the way and the truth and life. And who is he talking to? He's talking to people who are, they're breathing, they're alive. No. Through me is life. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus saying, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, born again, a new creation. A new creation. See, if you think of the first creation, now this excites me to share with you. When you think about the first creation, okay, God speaking his word into creation, speaking into the darkness. When you think about that, let me ask you this question. How much did that cost God? 6 days? Yeah. How much does this cost God? When you really stop and think about it, as far as we can tell, it costs God nothing, or very little at least. It doesn't seem to cost God something. But when we start talking about new creation, when you start talking about, and the best word I can come up with, the best word I can think about is restoration. When you start to think about God doing a new thing, how much does it cost him? Well, that costs him everything. That's the work of the cross. That's the work of the resurrection. Jesus taking all of the not goodness onto himself on the cross, allowing, here's what he does. He allows darkness. Even though there's only light and life in him, he allows darkness to come upon him and he allows his eyelids, he allows it to close in death. Look at John 1. This is how John begins, okay? We've been reading the end of John. Look at how John begins. Check this out. John 1, verse 3. All things were made through him. That's the first creation, right? All things were made through Jesus. Without him was not anything made that was made. Listen to this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Even though Jesus allows his eyelids to close in death, it can't hold him. It holds him for just a short time. But it can't overcome him. Darkness, not goodness, held him there. Ah! And he breaks out. He's resurrected. See, this is why the resurrection, folks, is such a big deal. because the resurrection is all about sin and darkness and the pain and not goodness in your life not being able to hold you. The resurrection is all about God doing a new thing. Think of Corinthians, where it says, if you are in Christ, you are a what? New creation. You think I'm making this stuff up? I can tell. I can tell you, I see the glazed eyes. In Christ, we are a new creation with Jesus himself being the first fruits. If you want to know what you're going to look like someday in the resurrected body, those who are in Christ will look like Jesus in the resurrection. Follow me here. The resurrection is the beginning. Notice my language is so precise. It's the beginning of the second creation. It's the beginning of restoration, new creation language, new creation stuff happening, dark stuff in our life where the light shines in, not the word coming in as just a spoken word, now the word coming and fleshed, Jesus, the light of the world, breaking into the dark places of your life, breaking in and beginning to say, it is good again. He looks at David and says, it is good. Whew. That's what the resurrection's all about. The resurrection is creation. It's the new creation. Have you ever heard of it like that? That does not get preached. I never heard that sermon growing up. Or at least I don't remember. Go read your Bible. Prove me wrong. It is the beginning of the new creation that gets completed in Jesus' return when heaven comes to earth, when God dwells with his people. Go read Revelation. God dwelling with his people for all of eternity. When all things are made new, it gets completed there, but it's already beginning to work here. Now you might ask me, where do we see it? Where do we see it happen? I want to see the new creation take place. It doesn't feel like a new creation. It feels like there's a lot of not goodness in my life. Let me see it. Here's where it happens. It happens every place that the Spirit of God is working out the fruits of the Spirit. Where you look and you see peace, true peace, even peace in the midst of turmoil. I saw it this past week. Where you look and you see love of the deepest kind, even love of an enemy, a love that you can't conjure up. It would have to come out of you. It would have to come out of your spirit. I saw it this past week. I saw it. I saw love for enemy this past week in other people. Where we see the Spirit of God working out the fruits of God, love and joy, true joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, where these things are being worked out. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, where God is saying, preaching, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. When we look and we see the kingdom living out like that, that is where we see the new creation already being worked out. It's in our midst. The kingdom of God is in our midst, folks. We see it in the waters of baptism where God makes his promises. That's where I am. We see it in this meal. That's where I am. We see it in his word. That's where I am. We see it in the fellowship of the believers where two or more are gathered in my name. There am I. We already begin to see new creation taking place, and it's all because of the resurrection of Jesus. Him busting up out of that grave. And I know a lot of you have sweet picture Jesus, but I got awesome triceps Jesus or something, you know, like just busting out or something, just kicking the tomb away. I have no idea how it happened. Hulk Jesus. That's the Jesus. I'm just like, he just busts it and he conquers it. He conquers it for you and for me. The death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus being worked towards you. Quickly, look at Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. You have to see this. I want you to understand this is true, not 2,000 years ago. It's today. It's for your marriage. It's for your broken spot. It's for those, it's for it all. Listen, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? Watch this. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when what happened? He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named. What is that saying? It's saying the very power of the resurrection, whatever power, right? Whatever power it took, divine power to do this, right? For the eyes to open up. That power is being worked towards you who believe. It is being worked in you. It is being worked through you. It's being worked into the dark places of your life. It's being worked into the not good places. And Jesus is beginning to say, it is good. This we receive by faith, especially when there is brokenness all around and we're like, holy smokes, doesn't feel good, doesn't feel good, doesn't feel good. Yeah, keep fixed on Jesus. He will work this to completion at the end, on the last day when he returns. I'm telling you, on the way over here this morning, I was praying he'd just come. I just, come on, let's go. Come on, baby. Just for all of eternity, I just want to be with Jesus. I want to be with the saints for all of eternity. Come on, let's go. And he's saying, nope, not yet. Why? There's just more. He loves us so much. There's just more people. He wants to, there's just more people. Okay, well, we're just going to give our life to this then. And we're going to see what God's going to do. Golly, this, folks, this is what it's about. It's the resurrection. Paul says, if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, our preaching is in vain. If I didn't believe this, I can tell you right now, I would go find a job that pays a lot of money and where I can find good work, family balance, and just cruise on through life. That's what I would do. Serious? I'm serious. That's what I would do. I could make so much money, I feel like that. I'm not saying go become a pastor. I'm not saying that either. That's all I'm saying is the resurrection of Jesus is being worked in us, even today. May that bless you. May you receive that today. May you hold to that by faith. The power of the resurrection, the power of God being worked towards me. Are you kidding me, God? Are you serious? Wow, I'll take it. I need it. Jesus looks at you and says, it's good. Because he looks at us through Jesus. We are a new creation if we're in Christ. Whew. Wow. The old has gone. The new has come. That's good stuff, folks. That's good stuff. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you did not stay dead. But you rose. We believe it by faith. We believe the testimony of those who saw you, who witnessed it historically. We believe their testimony. We hold you to your word. God, in those places in our life this morning where there, I don't care if you got on a fancy dress. I don't care. There is some stuff going on in our lives. God, we need your recreation power. We need the power of the resurrection in our life. We need a light that can pierce into the darkest of places. And I thank you, God, that that's your specialty. That's what you do best. You came into the darkest of places. You hung on the cross where the most evil moment of all time, where all the sins of the world gathered upon your shoulders. And even that couldn't hold you. Thank you, God, that we serve a God like that. Thank you that you are that powerful. Keep working in our hearts and lives. We look forward to your return. We keep our eyes fixed on you, where that will be completed one day. Very soon, that will be completed one day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit bless you and keep you this next week. May the resurrection power of Jesus be at work in you and through you in every single aspect of your lives. It's beginning to be good. In his name, amen.